Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is actually a little later, 9:45 p.m. right now on Wednesday, February 9th. That means it's time for Under the Radar.
It is under the radar.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. David Griggs to my side. Down below, we've got Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org back. And this is our Under the Radar podcast, which, Griggs, why don't you explain to everybody what that means?
Well, it's, for lack of a better term, the 22 regular one bid leagues. There's no rule that says that those 22 conferences only get one bid. It's just more often than that, that's all that they get. There's a few tonight that we think might get two or more. We'll talk about that. But what it isn't, it's not the Power Five, the Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, SEC, and Pac-12, nor is it the five other regular multi-bid leagues, which is the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the West Coast, the Mountain West, and the American. It's everybody else. So all these big games we had over the weekend, real exciting last night and the night. We're not really talking about any of that tonight.
Also, in addition, if you are in the top 25 in either of the two major polls, you are not under the radar, which now applies this week. Murray State out of the Ohio Valley, we've thrown them off of under the radar. You want to hear about them? I kind of think when I think of under the radar, David, actually, when you go to Thanksgiving dinner, you have the parents' table and you have the kids' table, and everyone knows the kids' table is the fun table to be at.
Yeah, it is. I
And
still
our
sit at the kids' table.
under the radar podcast is the kids' table of college basketball.
It is. I still
This
sit at
is
the kids' table.
this is where we have all the fun, and I'll tell you, I want to just start off with we've been doing blind resumes on a lot of our shows. I think we want to start off with a blind resume, but one that specifically applies to one of the very fun things we like to do here at Hoops HD every year, a specific award that we give out actually to the worst team in Division One. So, as we move to our blind resume of the night, here they are. The question is not which resume is better. The question is, which of these blind resumes is worse? Did they come up?
Yes, they did. Well, they both have a couple of wins. Neither one of them are D1 wins. But so that's a push. I'm looking at the one on the left, and I'm like, that is a lot. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That's a lot of sub 300 losses. Whereas the one on the right doesn't have nearly that many. This one on the left is exceptionally awful.
Well, Rocco, let me bring you in as well, because when you look at the one on the right, they have a loss to a non D1 team there, that one with a hyphen by the net number.
That hurts. That clearly hurts. I happen to think that ever since, I don't know, early December, there's been a team that I've been telling people is the worst team in D1, bar none, and they have yet to prove me wrong. So whichever team is IUPUI, I am 100% on the IUPUI for the Centenary Award campaign.
It is IUPUI is the team on the left. Delaware State, the team on the right, just picked up another loss
Wow.
tonight. One of their most winnable games they lost tonight.
And Chad, IUPUI did something that doesn't show up on the paper, that just screams Centenary. I know you love this. I hope you have it ready to go. What did they
It's
do,
up.
Chad?
It's
It's
right
up.
there. It's right there on the screen, Griggs.
My God.
Open tryouts for the remainder of the 2022 season. If you go to IUPUI and you want to be on the basketball team, if you don't go there and you want to enroll in IUPUI, you could be on the basketball team. This is bad. This is really bad. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
God.
Brutal.
Oh,
Yeah, I
no.
mean, IUPUI's got so many better resources than a place like Delaware State, too. The award's got to go to them. I mean, I can't see them winning. They're in the horizon. It's it's got to go to them. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think Centenary did more to earn their Centenary Award than what IUPUI is doing
The
this
one thing I would circle is
year.
that last game of the season, home against Green Bay, the second worst team in the horizon. That is the game that may decide the award. They've got a five-game road trip now. Both teams have a lot of road games left, so I don't see. I really don't see Delaware State winning a game either. So we may have two winless teams against D1. But let's move. Let's get a little more serious here and move into our feature conference of the night. We like to always go with a feature conference. I picked it out about 5 minutes before we started, and I figured it's time to go with one of our favorite leagues. It is the Northeast Conference. And Rocco, let me start with you. where we've been talking up this Wagner team now up to 12-0, but have we been underlooking Bryant, who, with Peter Kiss out on a 2-game suspension, picked up a pair of road wins this week?
Possibly. I mean, I think Bryant's right there with Wagner. Wagner got the unfortunate news earlier this week that Elijah Ford's going to be done for the year. It's their second leading scorer, a very important player. And, you know, Bryant and Wagner, the only time they met was at Wagner, went to overtime, was anybody's ballgame. So I think we have another great clash coming at the end of February. They'll play in the season finale. But more importantly, perhaps a collision course as we look to the NEC tournament, which is just going to be once again spectacular. You know, I think Bryant behind Charles Pride. I mean, Charles Pride really stepped up in Peter Kiss's absence. You know, you look at those two games, you know, Mount St. Mary's is playing tremendously well in conference once again. You know, you almost have to throw out what they do in non-league because they really turn it around in NEC play the last 2 years. And in that Mount St. Mary's game, he went for 32 points. You know, he took 21 shots, but he also had 10 rebounds, only turned it over once, basically touched the ball a very high percentage of the time. And the game before, St. Francis PA, he went for 44 points, I mean, and 12 rebounds. I mean, this guy has really stepped up without Kiss around and just become the man. And the fact that Bryant's got somebody that can do that makes them pretty dangerous.
Yeah, Bryant just kind of got onto my radar. I always thought it was Wagner and company. And one of the discrepancies is when you look at the net, the RPI, well, just any metrics, Wagner way out in front. But when you look at the profiles and who have they actually played and who have they actually beaten, they're pretty similar, because when you look at a lot of Bryant's losses, they're high caliber losses. Now, not all of them. Bethune-Cookman is horrendous and they lost to that one, but in conference play, the only game they've lost was to Wagner and it was in overtime.
Yeah. And I guess we may have to start researching some Northeast Conference tiebreakers, because the NEC tournament is played on home courts. And should they split and both teams go undefeated other than head-to-head, I'm not that certain what the next rate tiebreaker is. If it somehow goes to net, Wagner is in the driver's seat, though, right now. Some conferences do go there.
But watch – I would say watch out, though, because Wagner's got Mount St. Mary's tomorrow. And like I said, Mount St. Mary's has been a juggernaut in conference. And this will be really their first full game without Ford. I think it's a spot where Wagner might get beat even on their home court.
I'll tell you, I believe Wagner, I believe they have 4 or 5 double-digit scorers. Four was one of a group that was very close. So he was within about half a point of being their fourth leading scorer also. But it's a big depth issue, though.
Right. And I think long-term, Wagner's going to figure it out. But usually you see these important players go down that first game without them, or maybe the first 2 games without them. There's usually an adjustment period and an acclimation. So I'm just saying, with it being against Mount St. Mary's, it's a potentially dangerous game for their first game without them.
One other game to highlight for tomorrow night in the schedule, it is round 2 of the Battle of Brooklyn.
Yes.
SFBK at LIU. Forget the records, the fact that neither one is doing that great. This is a great rivalry.
It really is. I love this rivalry.
It's the best in Brooklyn. Best in this league, that's for sure.
Yeah. One of the best under the radars. One of the best, maybe not the best.
I agree.
Yeah. This weekend, Bryant's going to be at Long Island, and Wagner is going to be hosting Merrimack also. I want to pay attention to that. But let's roll back to the beginning and run through the rest of these leagues in order here. Starting in the America East, where Vermont just continues to roll. Griggs, they just pummeled Binghamton tonight.
Yeah, Vermont might slip up between now and the end simply because they're just bored. Binghamton was the team that we thought had, if anybody had a chance of giving any sort of an account for themselves, it was them. And Vermont just dominated the whole game. No one in this league is on their level. It's kind of domination that you haven't really, it reminds me of some of the CUSA Memphis days, to go above the radar a little bit. That's the gap between Vermont and everybody else. It's not even close.
I think the one question, Rocco, 7 games left, 5 of the 7 on the road, though. Does that make it a little dangerous that there might be a trip up here before the conference tournament?
I think if there's going to be the one team to look at is UMBC under Jim Ferry. You know, they really started to figure some things out. They've won. They just won their sixth in a row tonight over Hartford. Again, nobody. I agree with the overall sentiment. Nobody's on Vermont's level. But if you look at America East Conference play and you filter just by the conference games, UMBC's got the number one defense, and they've also been number one or number two in almost every defensive category. You know, maybe there's enough there that they've figured out here in conference play that could throw a wrench in what Vermont likes to do. Outside of that, though, I Vermont is so many. They might not even be just a tier above everybody. They might be two or three tiers above everybody. Yeah.
It would be. I think it would be a major upset if they do not win the America East tournament, and be a real shame. Also,
it would be huge. Yeah, it would be a shame
this year. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there was another year where Vermont. I mean, they weren't dominating this much, but they were really dominant. They lost to this UMBC team that ended up as a 16 seed. And I'm like, well, that sucks because Vermont won a game in the round of 64.
Yeah, that UMBC
team. I hope Joby's watching.
Yeah, that UMBC team played the game against Virginia. I think they lost, right? They got blown out. Or maybe not. There's the upcoming schedule for the conference. Obviously, the two Vermont games are the two most notable games there. Rocco, over in the A-Sun Conference, which why don't we start with the game tonight, actually, with Jacksonville State, who was up by like 15 points or something at halftime. What the hell happened?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you. I missed the game, but I did see the final result. Stetson ends up winning that thing by six. So clearly some sort of big run somewhere in the second half by the Hatters. And, you know, Jacksonville State's been a kind of a strange team. You know, obviously Ray Harper runs his zone schemes, and that gives them a chance to knock off really good teams. You know, case in point, a 10-point win at Liberty, which really turned the tides of this conference race. But since that point in time, Jacksonville State gets nipped at home by 12 against the Ospreys of North Florida, a team who has really struggled this year. And now going down to Stetson, and as you pointed out, blows a 15-point lead. So tough team to put our finger on. Obviously, they have some upside, but the race is back in the hands of the Liberty Flames, and at this point, they might not let go of it.
It's actually 40. It was 41-29 at the half, so 12-point lead. I'll apologize for that. But Griggs, Liberty did have a good week, picking up a nice road win at Bellarmine last Thursday, and then following it up with a win over at EKU and over Lipscomb last night, actually.
Yeah, I'm starting to I pretty much agree with what Rocco said as far as Liberty being the team to beat. I was really kind of all in on Jack State, you know, being the favorites, especially it looked. I mean, I know Liberty's 9-1, but it didn't look like they had always brought it. And I just thought Jack State had gotten control, but certainly not after tonight.
Right. There's the upcoming schedule. Liberty is at Jacksonville and at North Florida. They have a little Jacksonville trip there. Jack State is going to be hosting Central Arkansas. They better not lose that game. Yeah. And then they're going to Lipscomb. One note here. Queens College out of Charlotte is looking to move up to Division I. I believe maybe as early as next year, maybe 2 years out. A-Sun is one of the heavily rumored conferences that they're going to be to move to.
Is that official yet or just still being... It's been in the press.
They voted as an institution to make the move. So they passed that hurdle, and now they've got multiple suitors, is my understanding, A-Sun and Big South, the two that were mentioned yesterday.
Okay. Our audience probably knows this. In order to reclassify to D1, the rule is you need conference affiliation. Now, the Board of Trustees can vote to do it, but it won't happen if no one invites them, but chances are they know where they're going.
Well, but they definitely have a conference. I think they may have their pick of the Big South or the A-Sun from what Rocco just said and what I've heard as well. I'd heard the A-Sun rumored with them a couple of weeks back as well. So that's why I thought A-Sun might be where they're going, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's keep rolling on to the Big Sky Conference. Griggs, Weber State, I think they only played once this week. I don't think they played over the weekend. Oh, no, they did. They did get that game over the weekend. I'm sorry. That was that Montana State. They did not play over the weekend. They absolutely did not show up against Montana State.
That was an accurate assessment. They did not play over the weekend. Montana State goes in the Weber and blows them through the ceiling. What a performance. I mean, I had been – picking Weber as the best team. I'd been really impressed with them. They had that four-game stretch where they had a lot of chances to get a big win, didn't get it. But outside of that, they'd been really impressive. Not Saturday. And how do you not sort of all of a sudden think that it's now Montana State's conference? Now, this conference getting exciting, the top three teams separated by just one game, and Montana right on their heels. One of the teams in the mix, a Southern Utah team that we've been fond of because of how they had previously won the Centenary Award, and look at them now. But Montana State has looked better more often, at least from what I've seen, than everybody else.
Yeah, and I saw that Southern Utah team just lost the game at Montana Monday night. So,
yeah,
Maybe keeping Montana in the race, maybe knocking Southern Utah step down. But Rocco, the Bobcats. I mean, I don't think we've discussed this team this late in the season in years.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I echo what David Griggs had to say there. This is a Montana State team that has not lost in the year 2022. They're 10-2 in the league. They've won all nine of their games in this calendar year. And that game at Weber State, I think, was a needle mover for not only the program, but obviously in the standings. You look at a team here with three local Seattle guys that I know pretty well. Raekwon Battle, probably most people know, played for UW last year, came off the bench as the sixth man. He's not even starting. So it kind of shows you that Montana State's got some really solid talent. Danny Sprinkle, he's still young in his coaching career. He's a former Montana State Bobcat player, legend himself from when they made a tournament run back in the 90s. And so this program, he wears it on his sleeves as a badge of honor. You know, even if they have a great run this year and get to the tournament, I don't think he's going to be lured by other schools very easily. And I think there's something special going on in Bozeman.
Yeah, and we look at the upcoming schedule. They have a pair of home games against teams in the bottom half of the standings this week in Portland State and Northern Arizona. Well, Weber has a road trips, albeit to Eastern Washington and Idaho, who are not that good either. But But the schedule definitely favors Montana State to remain on top come next week, or even move into sole possession of first there.
And we've got the got the Potato War on Thursday night.
The other thing to mention there too, Chad, is that Montana State and Weber won't play again in the regular season. So if they do end up with two losses apiece, Montana State will get that tiebreaker. So that's a pretty vital win they got.
Right. The conference tournament, I believe, back in Boise again this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a neutral court.
We're trying to get those floor sweepers back for you.
Yeah. Pluto does not have the tournament anymore, at least not the opening rounds. And I am very, very, very concerned that we will not have the floor sweepers this year.
Yes. It has moved to ESPN Plus. We will see what they do at halftime show, but they tend not to show the court at halftime at ESPN Plus.
Right.
Big South Conference. We already mentioned them as the potential destination for Queens College. And, how about, Rocco, let me stick with you. How about these absolutely amazing Longwood Lancers?
I mean, Longwood's just getting it done. They've been a really solid team, obviously 9-0 in the league. But even in the non-conference, I think they came 1 point away from winning at Old Dominion. They blew out that UMBC team we talked about before. So for a low major team, especially with no tournament experience, a relatively new Division I program, Griff Aldrich has really shined this year as an up-and-coming coach. They run really great offense. They're at the top of the Big South in almost every offensive category. They also get it done defensively. They lead the league in steals, and they also lead the league in not giving away steals, so they're the best at ball protection. That's a really good formula for winning. You look at some of their scores. I mean, how many of these games come down to the wire? They only won by two at Charleston Southern. The jury's out on how long this can last. I also have my eye on this Gardner-Webb team. They had a really solid 12-point win at Campbell tonight. Gardner-Webb's a team that's had pretty outstanding metrics most of the year, sitting at 143 right now in KenPom, the best team in the league KenPom-wise. So I'm smelling a Gardner-Webb, Longwood, very strange year. Might be able to both get by Winthrop to get to the title game.
Yeah, and that would be an updated KenPom number just for part of sake of reference. The numbers on the screen here were as of first thing this morning with that win. They jumped 15 spots here.
Yeah.
But
big jump.
Yeah, big.
And Campbell was a team that actually been pretty disappointing, honestly.
Yeah, I have too. I was expecting more out of them.
Longwood with a pair of games being tomorrow night. They're hosting Upstate, and an Upstate team that we were talking about last week had been red hot. This could be a game worth circling tomorrow night, actually, even though it's a home game for Longwood. And then hosting High Point on coming up on Monday next week.
Yeah, and Upstate, just real quick, Jordan Ganey, their point guard, he's a freshman. I mean, this is like the transfer portal era in a nutshell. He's a guy that would have gone to probably a Power 5 school or even like a Conference USA school in any other year. But because of the roster spots getting taken up by all the older players, he ends up going to USC Upstate to get playing time. His dad's an assistant coach at Tennessee. Unbelievable player. He might transfer up next year. But Big South fans, enjoy this kid because he's putting on a show for Upstate.
Could he be at Tennessee next year? I just wonder.
That's a big jump. That's a big jump. But who knows?
Big West Conference and Griggs, we saw Long Beach State, huge win over Fullerton. Rocco, were you at that game last night?
I wish. I thought you were. Okay. I was hyping it. I was hyping it up because I love those guys.
But Long Beach State, Griggs, a nice 3-0 week with wins over Bakersfield, Poly, and this Fullerton team that had been looking so good before that.
Yeah, in kind of coming out of nowhere, I think we'd given up on the Beach almost as a program, not just this year, but as a program in recent years. And here they are, 8-1 in the Big West, really on a roll. And you've mentioned that just an impressive win on the road against one of the better teams in the conference. Now, look at these standings. This is one of the things all the way really down to fifth place and even sixth place, although Davis hasn't played the full schedule. Separated by just two games, there's a lot of parity in this league, and but like between sixth and eighth place, there's a massive drop off. But Irvine, while they've been disappointing, their ceiling is still as high as it was at the beginning of the year. They're a team that, if they ever get it together and play up and go on a run, could win this conference tournament, even as a 4 or 5 seed in the conference tournament. But right now, if you're just looking at who's the story, it's Beach.
Yeah, I mean, Irvine, pair of nice road wins, actually. The 1-point win at Santa Barbara, which had been a big rivalry in past seasons. Yeah. And then picking up the win at Northridge. And Rocco, the disappointing team this week, though, Hawaii goes 0-2 with losses at Riverside and then at Davis.
I think that's a tough swing. You know, it's Hawaii on the mainland is usually not the same Hawaii, of course. But and Riverside, we know, that's a tough road win for anybody. Right. But Davis has those great guards. They lost both those by 5 points and 3 points, so they were right there. I still think Hawaii's a contender. But next week will be huge for them. Sorry. Long Beach tomorrow, Cal State Fullerton Saturday. Good chance Hawaii can sweep that because they play so well at home. Long Beach coming off a game last night. That's a tough turnaround to fly all the way out there and have to play in less than 48 hours. But on the Long Beach note real quick, I just want to give them props for their non-conference schedule. This is a team that scheduled UCLA and USC. And then when both UCLA and Long Beach had COVID pauses, they scheduled each other a second time. So they played two UCLA games, the USC game. They also met up with Murray State in their tournament. They played Missouri State. They played San Diego State. Long Beach got so much better from those losses. And I just think that's such a smart move for mid-majors to do. Long Beach has been doing it for longer than anybody.
That's light compared to what they normally do.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, but look how much it's paid off. I mean, they went from 4-9 to 13-9. Pretty amazing.
One of the games against the circle tomorrow night, Griggs, Riverside at Irvine. It is the Rivervine Cup.
The Rivervine Cup. Yes. This won't be blacked out on ESPN the way the Wynwood Cup was.
On the Colonial, UNC Wilmington, we were talking about that undefeated. And when they lost a game, Rocco, they lost, and then they followed up with yet another loss, 0-2 week for this Wilmington team.
Yeah. Well, they did squeeze in a William and Mary win on Saturday.
Oh, you're right. I missed that game even.
Yeah, so many rescheduled games. It's like these three a week are tricky. But yeah, I think the thing is Wilmington has just had such a crazy run in January where a lot of those games that are down double digits. I don't remember the stat, but they kept coming back from double digits and getting wins. Obviously, tremendous coaching job by Takeo Siddle, his second year. But how much longer can that last is the question when you have such talented teams, and Hofstra and Towson particularly. Also, the middle of the league's got a lot of talent too. Delaware's still a pretty strong team. So, I don't know if Wilmington can hang on, but, man, the chemistry in that locker room is very strong, and it's pretty cool to watch.
Well, I'll tell you, the Hofstra especially impressive. Even though they're at home, they beat James Madison and Wilmington, two pretty good teams.
I'm still a believer in this Hofstra team. I think they have the highest ceiling. On paper, they do not. They have not outperformed Wilmington by any means. But if anyone is going, I just think Hofstra is still the best team, with, or at least the one with the most potential. I still think they can win the conference tournament.
Yeah, and even though Hofstra did lose last week at home to Towson, Towson goes and gives Northeastern their first conference win of the season over the weekend, which I'm still trying to figure that one out. After we had just decided that Northeastern was completely nothing this season, who knows? It's been a very strange season in the Colonial. It's been very upside down. Upcoming schedule quickly in the Colonial, then we'll move on to the next league. We do see, as far as maybe we want to highlight the Hofstra games at Drexel and at Delaware. That's a tough road trip there, actually, for Hofstra.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is, yes.
Wilmington gets Charleston, and they get William and Mary at home. But over in Conference USA, this is a league that I find this West Division, these top two teams, fascinating. We like Louisiana Tech for a while, too. They've kind of fallen off the pace a little bit here. But this North Texas and UAB thing, Griggs, why don't I pull these two teams up and up, actually, on the profile here? Because these are two teams that I think are still on the at-large bid radar, at least.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely on the radar. I think they'll both be on the board. Now, whether they'll make the field without the auto bid remains to be seen. As you see both of them there, UAB tops out a little higher. If for no other reason, they won head-to-head against North Texas at North Texas, has a pretty respectable win at St. Louis, also a really nice win at La Tech. North Texas matches that. But when you look at the bottom here, I mean, just some of the stinker losses at Rice and Marshall. When you look over at North Texas, they don't top out as high, but they also don't have any losses that really have you holding your nose. Home at Buffalo was a game they should have won, but that isn't an atrocious, like, bang your head against the sidewalk level loss the way Rice and Marshall is.
Yeah, Rocco, I mean, this North Texas team especially becomes fascinating, especially if they do have to play a game at UAB in a couple of weeks here. That becomes a very, very interesting game. And it's also interesting because of UAB's tendencies that you pointed out a couple weeks ago to be very bad on the Saturday game after they play Thursday, which is right after you told us that they went and lost that winless Marshall. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, like I've been telling people this week, if UAB gets into March Madness, you know, watch out in the first round. They're probably going to blitz somebody. But they're probably going to get fall apart in the second game.
They have no shot to win three games in 3 days in the Conference USA tournament, though,
maybe,
do they?
Yeah. I mean, they really got to scale it back. Like if they play a one of the bottom teams early, they got to really scale it back. It's a awesome team, so much talent, but they really go all gas and it kind of kills them, as you guys said already. But this North Texas team, if they can get that win at UAB, they are so solid. I think they're less susceptible to getting beat by a middle tier or definitely not a bottom tier team. They're just so well-rounded, easily the best defense in the league. You can look at conference only. You can look at all season, doesn't matter. It's a Grant McCaslin defense. And, you know, I'm so big on him. I cannot believe he's actually still coaching there and he hasn't been plucked. But we're lucky because we love these leagues and he's still there. And this is an awesome team.
It is. This is a team, again, that returned the nucleus of a team that went to the round of 32 a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, and they could go second weekend this year. I'm not kidding on that.
They got to get there first. Well, okay, Rocco.
They got to get there.
Committee guessing expert, are they in if they win out and don't win the conference tournament?
I say yes. Because right now,
so? Wow. Okay, that's
yeah. Right now on my chart, you know, I'm not putting them in the at large pool because they're winning the league. But if they were in the at large pool, I had St. Louis as my fourth team out, West Virginia fifth. They would have been my sixth team out on Monday. They haven't played this week, so let's just say they're still there. The nice thing for them is they've won at Wichita, they've won at La Tech, they've won at WKU. In your scenario, they would win at UAB. They have so many clean metrics, like you said, only the home Buffalo losses outside of 2B. So I think there's plenty there for them to get in, assuming they win by, you know, decent margins in all these other games that they'll have to win. But I think there's definitely enough there.
Well, Rocco, they also have a very interesting test coming up this weekend. February 17th, that'll be next week, about a week from now. They only play the one game this week. At Florida Atlantic,
yeah,
red hot in that East Division, very quietly,
dangerous,
you know,
team.
It's become a very, very dangerous team. So I think that's one we may, you may need to circle before they even get to that. And it's their game right before the UAB game, too.
Yeah, that's a tough week. I mean, you look at this Florida Atlantic team, and my goodness, like they they are making things pretty hectic for other teams. Like they got a 7-1 European guy, Vladislav Golden, that is a pick and pop guy, dynamic guards. I'm starting to learn quite a bit about these guys as they've gotten hot. But yeah, I think they're dangerous. Their last three games, they've won by double digits and well over double digits in two of those.
Yeah, one of those was that Louisiana Tech team. That is,
yes,
know, they've only lost three games: UAB, North Texas, and that game.
Right, and the problem for FAU right now is they haven't gotten it done on the road, really against anybody of significance, except for unless you want to count Marshall. But you got that?
Not significant.
No. It was more of a dig at UAB. Sorry about that.
Right. Yeah.
But the North Texas game is at FAU, so that's a very dangerous game.
Okay, here's the upcoming schedule. I think the game to circle actually is UAB at Old Dominion on Sunday. Again, it is UAB with that. Although it is a Sunday game instead of Saturday, so they do get two games off. Might help little bit here.
Mm-hmm. And Southern Miss is very bad. So they might only have to play their guys for a half in that game.
North Texas, they only have the one game, and it's at Rice, who is very bad, and they really Rice is better this year than they have been in past years, but they should.
But they're still when you're talking about getting inside the bubble, you better be able to win at Rice.
All right,
it's a fun game to watch though. When Rice and North Texas play, they get after each other.
Yeah, they do.
It's fun.
Breaking news out of the Horizon League today, where the league. Boy, the league bylaws provide that if you don't give at least 1 year notice before you leave the conference, you may be deemed ineligible for the postseason tournament. Well, Illinois-Chicago accepted a bid to the Missouri Valley Conference, announced it right away, all excited about it, and the Horizon League decided that UIC is, much like James Madison and Stony Brook, is not welcome to play in the Horizon League tournament this year. Feel awful for these UIC kids on one hand, but I feel really good for UIC as a university because it's a major step up, I think, to the Valley.
Yes, and I would like for all the administrators watching, and I realize all 358 ADs are watching this show, if you're going to move conferences, you can announce it when your baseball team is eliminated from the conference tournament. You can do it at that press conference. You can send a reporter, or you can release a press statement after your baseball team is eliminated from the conference tournament that you're leaving the league. Don't do it before that.
Rocco, we talked most of the season about Oakland. We thought maybe Cleveland State was going to hang close to them. This Oakland team is completely falling apart now. They lost to Youngstown State tonight. Going in the wrong direction. Wright State, by the way, is now up to 12-4, clearly in possession of second place. Since we started the show, they won their game at Green Bay tonight.
Yeah, I think Oakland hit a little bit of a wall. They've just been so dependent on the same guys. You can tell Jamal Cain, you know, their star transfer from Marquette. He's really –
ouch.
Yeah, he fouled out of the loss on Saturday. And I know tonight they fell short again against Youngstown. So big time trouble. But all those games have been on the road. Road in the horizon is not for everybody. It's not for really many, especially when you have to – that Northern Kentucky, which Wright State – trip. We've talked about that for years. That's easily the toughest trip. And it derailed these guys. But if you're an Oakland fan, you might be okay with this. You'd be like, all right, we've got our gut check. We lost all these games on the road. We're going to come home. We're going to figure this out and get ready for a run in the Horizon Tourney. I think they're still right there to win the tournament.
Well, but remember, this conference tournament is played on campus sites, though.
Until the semis. Yeah, so just get yourself to Indianapolis and then see what happens when you get there. That's mentality.
IUPUI hosting the semifinals and finals, an unfair advantage for them if they're able to get that far, in my opinion.
Of course, because they will have students available to play for them.
And they just got a boost because they're going from the 12 seed to the 11 seed now.
IUPUI.
The upcoming schedule here. Cleveland State is hosting UIC, who is not going to be very into that game, I don't think, tomorrow night after today's news. So that could be a blowout.
That's a good point, because you saw Stony Brook fell apart after their announcement.
Yeah. Then they get IUPUI at home. So this would be a very easy week for Cleveland State, at least these first two games coming up this week. Oakland continue a road trip. They actually got one more road game here at Robert Morris before they come home also. So who knows? Let's jump over to the Ivy League, Griggs, where we just saw tonight, in fact, Yale won again at Harvard, now 7-1 in the conference and starting to pull away a little bit. Not in the standings, but they're just looking so good on the court.
Yeah, I would concur with that. I mean, beating Harvard really in back-to-back games, including going there and doing it, really looking solid. I still always thought I can't get it out of my head that Princeton should be the best team in this league, but at least in conference play, they haven't been. Yale's been the most impressive, and they're kind of running downhill after that right now, aren't they? If you look at sort of their upcoming schedule, so
we can pull up their
schedule. I like the Bulldogs, Yale and Princeton. Let's put them both up. What they both got left. So
Yale,
they,
as you can see, they do have the home Princeton again, but it's the home game against Princeton.
But it's at home, they already won there, didn't they? Yeah, they did. So Yale's kind of in the driver's seat here, at least for the first place finish.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Princeton still has two games with Harvard and a game at the rival Penn to get through. So it's a little more difficult schedule, I think, for Princeton the rest of the way.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Yeah, and I think Yale's just getting better each game.
They are.
If you look November, December, January, they just continue to get better, and they're trending the right way, heading towards March.
Yeah, the upcoming schedule for this week in the Ivy League, I believe we have another Friday, Saturday schedule, if I'm correct. No, we don't. We actually only have Saturday this week. They did spread things out a little bit more this season than they've had in the past. Harvard at Penn might be a pretty good game. Harvard really needs to get a couple wins here if they're going to qualify for that top four, and they are hosting the conference tournament. We've mentioned that a few times. Rocco, maybe one of the biggest under-the-radar upsets of the entire week happened in the Metro Atlantic when Iona went to Niagara.
Yeah, and they say every year, like, the toughest road swing in the Metro Atlantic is the Buffalo swing between Canisius and Niagara. I don't know if that's because they take buses out there or because it's just cold as hell, but either way, Iona looked really good to pass the test after they pounded Canisius. End up winning by 8, but they did have a nice lead in that Friday game. And Sunday, Niagara came prepared. Credit to Greg Paulus and the Purple Eagle program for being prepared. And Iona finally gets knocked off. A lot of MAC insiders have talked about Iona not being able to get through this thing unscathed. So they're finally right in their 12th game. But Niagara, just awesome. And overall, they're now 6-7 after 3 wins themselves, 3 wins in a row. And perhaps a contender for, I don't know, a mini run at the MAC tournament. In terms of the Iona, I'm sure your next question is the Iona profile.
Yes.
I still am probably a bigger fan of it than most from what I can tell so far. I like the fact that they have that neutral Alabama game in hand. I think that's important, especially for a team at this low of a conference level. And one of the things that really jumps off the page when you look at Iona is the strength of record is still number 21, which is well inside the bubble from their perspective. The KPI, I think, was 30 on Monday. And
38 this morning, yep.
And you still don't have a lot. Well, what is Niagara falling in? Is that a 2B loss right now or a 3?
It's 3.
Niagara's a 3. But I think, Rocco, the other thing you look at, when you look a little bit more into the Tier 2 and 3, you have several conference leaders, several potential tournament teams here. Liberty, Hofstra, Yale, three teams we just discussed that they've beaten. They don't count for a ton, but that counts a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it matters. I think that certainly matters. I think the other thing you look at too, Chad, is you look at top two quadrants combined. They're 500 in those games, which six most important games, they won half of them. And then you get into the top three, they're well above that 500 mark at 10-4. So I think, again, I would rather select a team like this than like a middling Big 12 team like an Oklahoma or West Virginia with unbalanced losing records in those same quadrants.
Yeah. The big question, though, is can they slip up again in the regular season? Because if you're looking at an at-large bid, it means you're going to have a bad loss at the conference tournament.
Probably has to be a Monmouth loss, honestly.
And they got that one's at home, so that one's
coming up
or
on
in
Sunday.
Or in the MAC final or something like that.
Yeah, and the reality of a program like this, and it's really most of the under the radars, is that I would call it a circumstantial disadvantage for this reason. You have the first 6 weeks of the season to get the kinds of wins that would impress the committee. First, you got to get them scheduled. Then you got to get to them. You're never going to get them on equal terms. You might have to be on a bus because some of these teams have travel restrictions or travel like limitations that prevent them from flying. You have to be lucky and have the teams that you schedule in those games turn out to be as good as forecasted. And then if you're fortunate enough to get a couple wins, you don't have the chance to rebound, to bounce back. There's no such thing really as a bounce back when you lose in the Metro Atlantic, because you can't really, none of the games that you play are going to really move you up. So all you can really do is hold serve. And it's hard mentally to get up for game after game after game when you're always the showcase for the opponent and you never have anything to gain other than not losing. It's hard to get inside the bubble when you're under the radar.
Well, they do have this square here, which is not in the NCAA team sheets, but it is on ours ours now. Head coach Rick Pitino, that might actually work against them.
The other thing I'd point out there, Chad, now that you haven't pulled up, is that NCSOS being a top 50. I'll go off your number there. I had it at 46 earlier this week, but that says a lot when you're an Iona team. You played a top 50 schedule. That doesn't even count the Seton Hall game that got canceled. They did everything they could to play as many big games as they can. Those are some of the things that will get you into a first four, in my opinion.
I think they belong inside the first four if they went out. Like the committee should select this.
If they get that auto bid, then they should be.
Well, okay. If they went out but don't get the auto bid.
Okay. Real quick. We're running way behind in time here, so I'm going to try to pick things up a little bit here. But I own a big week this week at Siena, home against Monmouth, at St. Peter's. This may be their toughest week of the season. It's all coming off with a Niagara loss. So they do need to win these three games here. Mid-American Conference, where Griggs, we had Ohio-Toledo round two, and Toledo did it again.
Yeah, Toledo is one of those teams. I don't think they can get inside the bubble. Rocco can verify that. But they're going to be one of those teams that's on the 12 or 13 line that you look at and think, I think this team would clobber everybody on the 9, 10, and 11 line, and I would rather play teams on the 8 and 9 line than play this Toledo team. They got to get there first. Their profile just isn't there. You just pulled it up. Yeah. Like, the paper just isn't there. But if you watch this team on the court, I mean, they went into Ohio and blew them out of the place, kind of beat them badly twice. They're just on a rampage. They're good. Now, the Ball State loss, kind of inexplicable, but that's not typically them.
But hey, we've got a lot of teams that we'll talk about for at-large bids that have bad losses on the season. Yeah. So, hey. But Toledo's
The Ball State thing is just mind-blowing, because you think back to last year, this Toledo team won the MAC, and Ball State knocked them off last year in a super big surprising loss again. I don't know what the formula is, but Ball State turned around and lost to a terrible Central Michigan team last night. So that whole Ball State thing is, it has been blowing my mind the last couple of days. This Toledo team is very dangerous, obviously the best offense in the league. And typically, if you have a great offense, you can beat a good defense. So Toledo's got that going for them.
Yep, Toledo this week, they're at Northern Illinois. They're hosting Kent State, see if they can keep things rolling and get that top seed. The conference tournament is in Cleveland, so it's just who you get to play in terms of the seeding. There's no home court advantage or anything like that. The MEAC conference, Griggs, one of our favorite leagues here. Norfolk State is actually didn't get a game in this week, but yeah, they are still sitting here at 6-1 on top of the standings.
Yeah, they're
Central
still
having lost the game to South Carolina State.
They're still the team that I like the most. I think a lot of teams have shown like potential and promise. You've got Howard, NC Central, among the two that might be able to step up and nick them, but I just kind of like Norfolk State to win the league.
And you get that number one seed in the conference tournament, you would let NC Central and Howard have to place either in the other semifinal.
Right, yeah.
Have to place them for the championship game. Norfolk this week is going to be hosting Eastern Shore and at Delaware State. Delaware State could be in a little bit of trouble in that game.
Yeah, it could be. They don't want to blow it. They're on pace to win the centenary.
Finish second for the centenary. They're on pace to finish second for the centenary.
Still second. Yeah.
Behind IUPUI. Missouri Valley Conference. Rocco, a few scores have gone final since we started the show, including Missouri State picking up a win at Drake of note.
Happened to Drake?
So now Drake with four losses. Northern Iowa, who did win, beat Southern Illinois tonight, is the only team one game behind Loyola in the loss column. But Loyola back in command after that win at Missouri State.
And as we speak here, Chad, I've got the arena stats pulled up. Loyola trails Bradley 50-44 with about 10 minutes left. So
10:30 to go. Yeah,
they're not out of the woods yet. I want to comment on Missouri State. I got an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to talk to one of their assistant coaches and thought it was very interesting. If you remember back to last season, they had that crazy week where they played four home games in 7 days against Drake twice and Loyola Chicago twice. They lost all four of those games. Two of them were heartbreakers. Loyola Chicago came in and whooped them. But that basically determined the Missouri State fate last season. They spent all summer studying and preparing, knowing that Drake and Loyola Chicago were the two teams they needed to beat. Now they've just swept Drake here tonight, so I know that's a big deal to them. They did lose to Loyola Chicago on Sunday, which I know is disappointing, but they did beat them at Loyola Chicago. So now we can firmly say all that summer preparation resulted from an 0-4 last year to a 3-1 this year, and they've got the edge in some Arch Madness tiebreakers if they get there at the end.
Yeah, upcoming schedule here in this conference, we see, I mean, the big games are Loyola, who's going to be hosting Northern Iowa, who's now the second-place team, so big game on Sunday worth circling, yeah. I think. Then a trip to Valpo, which who knows? They really struggled with Valpo the first time they played, so. Of course, they're with everybody. They played the first time.
Yeah, and Rocco kind of alluded to this. Their last two games, they weren't great, tremendous, oh my God, like tier or one line caliber wins, but they looked good on the court. I thought they were kind of out of that funk, but not tonight. I've been watching them.
Continue on with conference with a little bit of news. We moved to the Ohio Valley Conference. We're not allowed to discuss Murray State. They are on the radar. We are allowed to discuss Southern Indiana, though, who I read today has
been invited
to join the Ohio Valley Conference and move up from D2 to D1. So,
and I believe that's happening next year.
Yes, it is.
Southern Indiana might be banned from their conference tournament this year. We'll have to find out about that.
I think they're ranked like second or third, so it won't matter.
beyond Murray State, Morehead State picked up a couple of wins. Belmont kept pace, although they struggled mightily in one of those games.
Both games.
It was a Tennessee Tech game. Yeah, that went OT.
Amazing game. Yeah. I mean, Shepherd went for what, 41 points that night? Crazy. And he hit the big shot, of course, to save their season from an at-large standpoint. So, I think the story here, Chad, sorry if I interrupted you, is Morehead State this week, Belmont tomorrow in Nashville, and a big, big, huge home game against Murray on Saturday. This is the week of all weeks for Morehead State.
It is. you're right. As far as making a splash in the conference, I don't think it's going to be enough to get them anywhere near the bubble. So focusing on Belmont, who still trails Morehead State by a game, they didn't – the last two times they played Morehead, they've really struggled to – well, they got blown out essentially the last two times. If they can right the ship, win at home tomorrow, and then win out on the season, can they get back inside the bubble?
Well, the win out of the season includes at Murray State February 24th. So remember.
Yeah. Well, Griggs, they would have to go there and win.
Yeah.
Griggs, I had them in as my last team in on Monday. So
did you? Even okay, right, wow.
They're right there in the conversation right now. Again, there's a good chunk of like eight teams you could pick your favorite four. I barely picked them, but yeah, I think if they get that many more wins and they're not really a bad loss along the way, like your scenario, I think they get there.
I agree with you completely, Rocco. I actually had to bracket Monday. They were my first team out. They were right there. But that St. Louis one is looking better and better. St. Louis is improving. Yes. They got that neutral court win over Iona is very good. Even huge. The Chattanooga win is a win. Drake is getting better. There are solid wins, and there's nothing bad. You can't complain about any of those losses.
Yeah, the Furman win matters too. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there. And Chattanooga.
Yep.
I'm starting to like this profile. I think,
we sold you.
Yeah. I mean, I was just kind of like, well, they're behind Morehead State by two games. Well, now they're only a game behind. They can draw even tomorrow. And if they go to Murray and win, I think they're in.
Yeah. Plus, like Dayton and Ohio are not like bad losses either.
Yeah. No.
So circle the Morehead at Belmont game, circle Murray at Morehead. Circle Belmont then has to follow up that win with a win at SEMO. Murray's going to be at Tennessee State tomorrow night. Those are the games. Actually, we're not supposed to discuss Murray. I apologize. Please ignore that.
Never heard of them.
They're not under the radar. The Patriot League, Griggs, you know, I guess the Colgate is now over 500 overall. So, I mean, that guy gets some credit for that. You know, for the first team is finally moving up a little. Maybe can avoid a trip to Dayton.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know about avoiding a trip to Dayton, but they're certainly starting to set themselves apart. I was wanting it to be Navy, but they've fallen behind. And I just don't think they're going to be able to keep pace with Colgate as far as the first place finish goes. And this is still at campus sites. Is that right, Chad?
It is at campus sites. Now with Navy, they've looked so good at times, but they've had two of the most epic collapses I've ever seen in my life this season. You can't trust them when they're up 20 points with 5 minutes to go. So I don't know what to do with this Navy team.
Oh man. I don't either.
Sorry, go ahead, Rocco.
I was just going to say Navy could be the reason why Virginia doesn't get in because they beat them on opening night. But that might be the only thing they got going for them right now.
Navy, round two with Army at West Point coming up on Saturday. Circle it. Whether it's a it's actually a game towards the top of the standings to begin with. And second of all, you know, it's always a great, great game.
Yeah, that one's always fun.
Colgate at Army also Wednesday. Kind of keep a look at that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep things rolling right along here over to the SoCon, where Rocco, Chattanooga is the bounce back team, especially after Furman really had a couple slip ups this week. Really did not have a good week at all.
Yeah, they did not. Lost again at Freedom Hall. Seems like they lose there every year. East Tennessee State, I was there a few years ago in that big game they lost. They got their number for one reason or another with multiple different coaches. Chattanooga, is very solid. Malachi Smith continues to, I think, carry the flag for player of the year in this league. And more importantly, I think Chattanooga, another example of the best defense in the league, will go a long ways towards winning a championship. Greensboro playing a lot of good defense lately too, getting hot. But the Mocs with a two-game lead, it's really hard to see them not winning the regular season title.
Yeah, this conference is at a neutral site in Asheville, North Carolina again. So not as much that you win by winning the conference regular season title, but you do get that one seed. Yeah. The upcoming schedule, big game, circle it Saturday. If there is a chance for Furman to catch up, Furman has to win this game Saturday. It's at Furman. Yeah.
I thought you were going with another one, but We've got what I think is the biggest rivalry in the conference, and that's not me being funny. Citadel VMI. I will say that there's going to be more important games to watch, but there might not be a one that's more fun. Tune in just for a few minutes. It's always a blast when these two go at it.
I'll tell you what, VMI has been quietly impressive in this conference. They've now moved up to third place as well. So yeah. Don't only turn this in for the rivalry, turn this in to keep an eye on this VMI yeah. team.
But do you concur, Rocco? Citadel VMI is a great college rivalry.
It's a great college rivalry. Yeah. You also have another storyline with, you know, Hayden Brown missed the Furman game and he's the Citadel star. He came back to light up Samford for 35 points in a big win on February 5th, which I think was Saturday. And so with Hayden Brown in action, it's always fun to watch him.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of completeness here, Samford picked up a win over Wofford after we started this show. So had one win for Samford, had one loss for Wofford.
God, what is happening to Wofford?
Wofford not heading in the right direction at all. But over in the Southland Conference, where Rocco, New Orleans, I guess they had a bit of a stumble, a bit of a head scratch. I don't know what they lose a card at Word. I don't know what to make of. I think maybe I actually predicted it last week because of how crazy this conference has been, but I wasn't very serious.
Maybe they went out a little too late on the Riverwalk on Friday night. They didn't show up on Saturday, losing by 8 to Incarnate Word, the 350th ranked team in the nation. Ouch. But now New Orleans has got to reset because Texas A&M Corpus Christi visits tomorrow, a team that we liked a lot coming into the league play. But Corpus Christi themselves, they lost to New Orleans last Thursday, and they took a really bad loss to Northwestern State. They also took a really bad loss to Houston Baptist. So, it's up in the air. Like, I think it's week to week who the hottest team is. And it's really going to come down to who gets hot, you know, that last week. It's really that simple. And the winner is going to go to Dayton. It's really hard to see that not happening.
They're going to go to Dayton, but I'll tell you that you could probably – the only thing I could say is – the Southland does do a ladder format for the conference tournament, so finishing those top two seeds will give you the advantage. If this was a traditional 8-team bracket without the buys of the ladder, I would say just pull a name out of the hat when you get to Katy. Come March.
I mean, Nichols should be the strongest team, but they got swept by Southeastern Louisiana, for example.
Yeah. They lost them three times, did they not? Because
They lost them in the final of the tip-off tournament, and then they lost them again. Now they got one more coming at the end of the month.
Okay. Griggs, over in the SWAC, where we have one of the biggest logjams I've ever seen in this conference with five teams.
Look at that. Five teams within a game. That's unbelievable. And look at who two of them are, Alcorn and Grambling. What happened while we were away?
I don't know. I mean, Grambling has had a couple good years lately. Alcorn State is not a team we've discussed seriously in ages. FAMU, the new member of this conference, also having a very, very good season here.
Good. I mean,
although they lose to Texas Southern over the weekend.
Yeah, and these are battles when you watch these games. I mean, I thought it was going to be Southern and Texas Southern, and then, a long drop to third, but Grambling being surprising, Alcorn being surprising. It's just been a lot of fun to follow this league.
Well, Rocco, Texas Southern did sweep the Florida trip, the new Florida trip in the SWAC that everyone has to make this year over FAMU and Bethune-Cookman.
Let's not forget they won at Florida too. So you want to throw that into the Florida mix?
Texas Southern unbeaten against the state of Florida.
They love that state. It's amazing. But Texas Southern, they're tenacious. That offensive rebounding prowess is nothing to joke around about. I mean, they're 14th nationally in offensive rebound percentage, one of the key stats that every coach looks at. And they're not a fun matchup, that's for sure. Now, the SWAC has been, I think, ultra competitive compared to most years. Some weeks, Southern looks like the best team. Alcorn State's had their moment in the sun. Florida A&M's had a couple moments in the sun. So I like the parity in this league. A lot of teams beating up on each other, and I think they're just going to produce a tougher champion because of it.
Big game coming up on Monday night, actually. Southern at Texas Southern. I hope that's the ESPNU game. I'll have to check those schedules. They do tend to have a Monday night game out of the SWAC. Southern Texas Southern is a huge one here. Also,
they're the best two teams on paper. I mean, just upside wise. If you look at upside only, those two teams are trending the best.
Rocco, stick with you over to the Summit League, where I think we got asked the question at 21-4, 12-0, how good is this South Dakota State team?
Good.
Let me pull that profile up.
Yeah, they're very good. And the craziest thing is like Noah Friedel has not even played since December 15th, and they've won every single game without him.
Is there a prospect of him returning?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And so, so if that happens, I mean, they're even more deadly. But they found ways to win in the Summit. Like some of these Summit wins haven't been pretty. They only beat North Dakota, a really bad team, by six last week. That was 2 weeks back. You look at a game against South Dakota, they really had to scratch and claw, but that's a rivalry game. So again, I don't know if they're like Vermont level dominant, but they're very, very potent, talented, the best 3-point shooting team in the nation, number one. So you have that kind of recipe. We all know that's a formula that nobody really wants to face come March Madness.
Friedel officially listed as questionable for their game tomorrow night against Denver. So I think he's been kind of questionable for a couple of weeks now, though. So
right.
Kind of this mystery injury that he has going on here. But Griggs, the upcoming schedule here, South Dakota State this week. They do have that Denver game coming up tomorrow night at Denver. And then they
shouldn't be
actually
tough.
have home against Omaha. They know it's only a road trip, but they come back home for Omaha on Saturday.
Yeah, so they should get both of those. I mean, you know, that's shopping at the bottom of the gauntlet. Right there.
But sticking with you over in Conference Chaos, aka the Sun Belt, where
you want to talk about a logjam.
Despite the fact that Appalachian State has lost a few games, they are still by the win column in first place.
Yeah, Texas State, kind of right on their I guess
everybody's on their heels.
Everybody's on their heels. I guess they're still, at least results based, the most impressive team in the league. I kind of like what Troy's doing. I still kind of like Texas Tech. As crazy as this is, even though that they're two games back, I think South Alabama has the highest ceiling. If we were to play a straight up bracketed tournament, they'd probably be the team I would take. But who knows? They could lose to the Little Roccos.
I'm kind of on this Troy team, and very nice. I mean, I know Georgia State and Georgia Southern are down at the bottom of the standings, but I think they are pretty decent teams, especially Georgia State. And pick up the road sweep this week on the Georgia trip, I think was impressive for me for Troy. That's kind of the team I'm circling this week. Next week will be somebody else, like Louisiana Monroe, who also had a 2-0 week this week on the road, on the Arkansas road trip.
Wow. What a league.
Rocco, is there anybody who's going to win this conference? Because I don't know.
It is a really big toss up with about seven contenders. I still love the talent level and upside of Arkansas State. Norchad Omier is like one of the best rebounders in the nation. And Desi Stills, you know, he was supposed to play at Arkansas, came over to Arkansas State. So he's a power six level guard that they showcase, plays every minute. And I think when they're playing at their best, they're pretty dangerous. But yeah, I mean, them losing at home to La Monroe just shows you that there's a very unpredictable lead. Georgia State's finally healthy. You know, you got to keep your eye on them. And South Alabama has a ton of talent too. Those are probably the four I'm looking at most. I'm with you on Troy as well, Chad.
And very interesting game tomorrow night, Arkansas State at Troy. That might be one to circle here for this week.
Absolutely.
Last regular conference here, the Western Athletic Conference, the good old WAC, where Griggs, New Mexico State is starting to really turn it on. Beats Cal Baptist, California Baptist, beats Seattle. Actually, Seattle had an 0-2 week with that Grand Canyon, New Mexico State trip. But
that was it. Like we were hyping Seattle last week. They go on the road against both those teams, lose both of them. Not really a surprise. It's hard to win in either place, much less both of them. But I just think talent-wise, on the court, eye test-wise, and even profile-wise, this New Mexico State team is once again the class of the WAC. I had them. Now, again, I'm not trying to guess the committee, and I don't think the committee would take them. I actually, on the bracket that I did on Monday, that was perfect. All your comments, Chad, were wrong. criticizing. I actually had New Mexico State sandwiched in between the first four teams. Now, is that technically inside the bubble? I guess, but it also implies that any loss in a conference tournament would knock them below that. But how good is this team, Rocco? Do they have any shot at all? Or is this just my own imagination?
I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, I have them a couple pegs lower than the North Texas team we talked about earlier, but
yeah.
I do think there's a couple variables in play that really have nothing to do with New Mexico State right now. You have a win, basically treated as a road win at Washington State. Washington State's about to play five huge games starting tomorrow against Arizona. They also have UCLA. They play basically all the best Pac-12 teams. If somehow Washington State plays themselves into a tournament team, New Mexico State will get a boost from that as a result. They also need to continue to root for Davidson, who is their best win today. You look at the strength of record metric, which is, I think, a pretty important one for selection. They're at 46 right now, last I checked. And so that's kind of it within the wheelhouse of picking them. Their net being in the 70s kind of reminds me of last year's Western Kentucky team that was hung around for most of the year and fell off at the last minute. And so that's my best comparison. But I do think you got to keep your eye on them based on all those factors I mentioned.
Couple of monster road games at Grand Canyon and at Seattle.
Grand Canyon one will be big for the quadrants compared to Seattle. But yeah.
But if they lose a game to Grand Canyon, maybe Grand Canyon can move up and make the win over Grand Canyon better. So maybe they're better off losing the game.
That's right.
That's Joe Lenardi logic.
Change program.
Also, don't forget that SFA home game coming up later on towards the end of the season there too, and the Utah Valley home game. Those two teams.
This is a good team. I mean, this is a good team.
And how about this? I mean, and how about the improvement of this league? I mean, adding these new teams just made a world of difference. They've never been, from my recollection, a top 20 league. They're 14th best league right now. It's just
I didn't realize they were that high. Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine how good they'll be when Chicago State leaves.
Yeah, right.
New Mexico State also leaving, unfortunately.
Southern Utah coming in though, so hey.
That's gonna help. I think that helps overall.
Let's have a little fun here. Let's go through our mythical leagues.
Not fake, Chad. Please.
Front Range. No Front Range games this past week. Wyoming remains in first place, and Colorado remains on pace to be disqualified out of the conference
Not playing any Front Range games. I thought, when did they beat Colorado State? I guess it was last week. But yeah, Wyoming suddenly, well, that's too much on the radar. Looking like the best team in the Front Range.
I don't believe we have any Front Range games on the calendar for this upcoming week. But let's take a look also over in the Beehive Conference.
This is a good
league. And we now have in the loss column a three-way tie, though in the win column, BYU still with this narrow lead over Utah Valley. Big controversy here if they finish 3-1 and 2-1.
Yeah. Who gets the Oklahoma Cup?
Who gets this?
Yes.
The old bucket. Bring back the bucket.
Yeah.
I think we got to give it to Utah Valley just because they beat BYU and had a great party and carried the guy off on his shoulders.
I'm not certain if Utah Valley may have another game with Dixie State left, so they're definitely going to that could help their standings in the conference, actually.
Yeah, I think they do, actually.
I do not actually see any conference games on the schedule here. Under at least a quick look here, we can actually check on that. Let's pull up a Utah Valley team sheet.
They put the 19th. They'll be playing at Dixie State, so not an easy game for Utah Valley.
Yeah.
All right. So if they win that one, they will then be tied with BYU and have a claim that they actually, with a head-to-head win, are the Beehive Conference champions.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a big game on the 19th.
Yeah.
Hoops HD under the radar top 10 list. We all voted for the list. We've got a few honorable mentions here to start. Beginning with Chattanooga, Missouri State, Wagner, and North Carolina under the radar top 10 list honorable mention. Mr. Griggs.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I'm voted the 11th.
We have a three-way tie for eighth place here between three teams that are not showing up on the screen. Let's try this again. Toledo, Vermont, and Ohio, all tied.
Toledo, that's low. Oh,
yeah. Toledo and Ohio tied. Vermont in there as well. At sixth place, we have a tie also between Belmont and South Dakota State, two teams that we just praised. At fifth, we have New Mexico State. We just discussed them.
Yeah, they're good. I like them. UAB, UAB way up there, which means North Texas must be higher. There they
number are. Number three, North Texas.
Yeah. And
number two, we have Iona.
Iona, and then and remember, one is
Murray State team. is ineligible. So our number one team. Loyola Chicago back to number one in the Hoops HD.
Very much sweating at Bradley right now.
This was voted on before tonight's game, which is still not over yet. So on that note, let's go to any of their final thoughts. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, I didn't touch on this team when we talked about the Valley, but the Northern Iowa Panthers have won five straight in league. They're 10-3 in the conference. They're a team a lot of people wrote off in the non-conference with injuries here and there. They also had Trey Burhau miss the Diamondhead Classic due to COVID. So they finally got their guys together, and we knew this team was a dangerous team coming into the season and finally peaking. I think they might be my sleeper pick to win Arch Madness. I'm really interested to see how things go at Loyola Chicago Sunday. It's a big road test, but they have gone into Missouri State and won. They've gone to St. Bonaventure when St. Bonaventure was rolling and beat them. So they've got a couple nice pedigree road wins. Really excited about this team, and I really kind of want to see them do something special after last year's tragic ending of the season with a COVID positive test in St. Louis.
Yeah, that team really had a shot to win that conference tournament last year, I thought, but it's a shame. Griggs.
I had two final thoughts during the show. One was to the administrators, do not announce you're leaving until the athletic, your spring season is over. The other, I'll just kind of repeat the idea of how hard it is to get inside the bubble when you're under the radar and the circumstances that are against you. I hope the committee is taking that into consideration. I think that they are, because so many of them are from under the radar conferences. And my third, along that line, another point is they long ago ran out of strikes, but Loyola Chicago might be running out of strikes. This would be yet another loss to a team that's nowhere near the field. And you just don't get that many, no matter who you are.
Oh. We'll see. The game is not over yet as we record this, but if they do hold on to lose,
they're down right eight with a minute to go.
Okay. You're a little ahead of me there. My stream's a little behind. But one last note, actually. There's an announcement today that, you know, that as an under the radar fans here, we've been a fan of the CIT term, which only accepted under the radar teams. There will not be a CIT this year, but we will have the Basketball Classic Tournament taking its place, also run by College Insider. I believe one of the key differences here are there's no bar on power conferences to this event, at least from the press release I read so far. We'll see here, but new postseason tournament replacing the CIT Basketball Classic. Rocco, did I get that right?
You got that right. 32 okay. Team Basketball Classic. No more CIT. Here we go.
But maybe be a chance for some of these small schools to play and be a few power conference schools. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs down there, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.